or a da cum regia. Oh no, English, sorry. Right. It's Epiphany Sunday. The three wise men. Oh, sorry, no, we don't know that they were wise men. We don't know they were kings. We don't know there were three of them. I think, as the Americans might say, we just have to say the dudes. Someone came. Someone turned up. The things we know, and this is a very, really odd passage because it's not really referred to in the Old Testament. There's a verse up there which perhaps hints at it. It's not really referred to again afterwards. It's just something that happens. You know, you've had a baby and three important visitors you've never met before who've come from a foreign country have turned up and you never talk about it again. It's a very odd story. But what we get from it is simply this. This baby was for more than just the Jews. He was of interest to non-Jews too. That's the most important thing. But the second thing we get from it is that these people had discerned something significant was happening, and they turned up and they saw a baby, and yet when they saw the baby, the body of Christ was revealed. The body of the Messiah was revealed. This was God. And they knelt down and worshipped. Now you may have noticed we didn't have that reading this morning. Because we're working through Corinthians. And that's what I'm actually going to speak about. But I'm going to speak about it from the point of view of they discerned the body of Christ. Because if you saw in the reading that we had, this particular part of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about the way they celebrate communion, the way they have the Lord's Supper. And it's all about identifying the body of Christ. The other verse on the screen at the moment is from Psalm 119. And it says, "The entrance of thy word gives light, understanding, revelation." Jesus is the Word of God. So when he came into the world, the dudes got it. Light came on them. They had epiphany, which simply means the light. Understood the light. It came. That's the context of what we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, I've gone too far. I forget that this, which reflects that, is slow. So if I click it, I don't get it. Now we're going right back to the beginning. Let's start again. Okay, so the first thing, I think there are three things that come, not even following it at all now. There are three things that come when we look at the passage in 1 Corinthians. And the verse I'm taking from that passage is the verse where he says, identify, recognize the body of Christ. He condemns them because when they come for communion, they don't recognize the body of Christ. And what they were doing was communion, the Lord's Supper was a meal, a proper meal, and they were coming together to have a proper meal. And some of them were just stuffing their faces and getting drunk, while others were left at the back of the queue and had to pick up the crumbs. There was no love. There was no putting other first. There was no preference of other people. It was all about me getting fed. And he said, go and eat at home and then come to the Lord's Supper, because this is not about you filling yourselves. So we've tried to protect ourselves from that by taking out the whole concept of it really being a normal meal and making it into a very formal thing, which is good because it means we can't fall into it. We don't come here thinking I'm going to stuff myself at communion. We come having had breakfast, probably. We come ready. But we've probably gone too far the other way in some of the things we do because we actually have let it become a ritual. And what he's saying here is, it's not a meal where you come to get fat, and it's not a ritual that doesn't mean anything. It has a significance, like the wise dudes saw the body of Christ when they looked at the baby. And so, I think there are three things, which is good, because perhaps there were three dudes. There are three things that we need to recognize. And the first one is what the bread represents. Anyone want to tell me? The body of Jesus, as he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Now, I hope there's no Catholics here, but it wasn't actually his body, because he was standing in his body when he broke the bread. It was just a symbol, but it represents what was going to happen to him. It was going to be torn apart. He took this, I don't know, bit of pizza, you can imagine it as, it wasn't pizza, it was unleavened bread, but it was that sort of size, and he ripped it apart and said, "This is what is going to happen to me in the next few hours. This is my body broken for you. I am sacrificing myself for you." When we come to communion, the first thing we should recognize is that this is a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So that means we don't come to it lightly. We come to it ready to recognize Jesus and all he has done. Do you know, I think most of us get that bit. The next bit is that we need to recognize the church. And by the church, the Bible always means the people. It never means the building. We need to recognize each other as the body of Christ. And there are lots of verses which talk about the church, the body of Christ in the people. Let's look at some of them, which I will have to come round here because this isn't keeping up. So if we look at the Ephesians 1, God placed all things under his feet and apportioned him to be head over, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. We are his body. We are his hands and his feet on earth. Together. I loved what Keith said this morning. Because we're very good at tolerating each other. Do we understand each other as the body? Because recognizing the body is being more than just tolerating each other. More than just tolerating the fact that, you know, we don't like the way we do things. We don't like, and I'm not talking about we don't like the way that group do things or that group do things, but even just with us, we don't tolerate, do we do more than tolerate the way we do things? Do we actually understand why someone does like this, doesn't like this, why someone does what they do? We are not youngsters, because the youngsters are somewhere else. Do we understand the youngsters? They live in a very different world to the one we lived in when we were their age. It's easier for me to talk about understanding young people because I've worked with young people than it is about understanding other things, so I'll use that as the example. Do we understand the fact that that school today is totally different to what it was like when we were at school? We think we know what they're going to, but they're not going to anything that we ever went to. Do we understand so that we can actually recognize where they're coming from and try at least to accommodate that? Understanding the body of Christ is about loving each other as the body. The 1 Corinthians 1 there, "We were all baptized by one Spirit, so as form one body. We are the body of Christ." The Colossians, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity," all of God is in Christ, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. So all the fullness of God is in Christ, and all the fullness of Christ is in us. Well, follow the logic. Everything of God exists within the church. Now, of course, the church is not just us. It's not just us. It's not just all the Christians alive today. It goes right back to the time of Jesus. The body of Christ is more than we will ever see, because Christ is huge. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't recognize each other as the body. So when we come to the meal, do we tolerate each other, or do we understand each other? I'm so glad he said that earlier. It's really good. Do we tolerate each other, or do we understand each other? Because the whole passage in 1 Corinthians says you must recognize the body of Christ when you come together. When the wise guys came and they saw a baby, their eyes were opened, light shone, and they saw something more than a baby. They saw it was God. When we come together, do we see more than just a group of other people? Do we see this is where God is? Not in the building, but in the people. It is in us that God is. And we are together the way that God shines in the world. So it's all about light. Light breaks through. Do we take that revelation and understanding out into the world with us? Because if we recognize we are all God together, we are representing God, we are how God chooses to touch this world, then that's true when we go out as well. And that's true when someone's in an office, someone's in a classroom, someone's in a shop, someone's on a bus. Wherever we are, God is touching the world. So that brings us to the third one, which is you. Because if we are the body of Christ, then I am part of the body of Christ. We are individually God's representatives. And it's perhaps the third thing is the one we forget the most. That actually God lives in me. And when I come here and I bow down, kneel or stand and take the bread, then it's actually because I'm included in everything Jesus has promised. And here's just one verse about that. No, I went too far. Here's just one verse about that, which isn't on there. Technology, eh? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? I've had many conversations with Christians, some who are even church leaders, who say things like, you know, when I die, I hope I'm going to heaven. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Christ's in heaven. When you die, you're going to be with him. It's not a, I hope so. It's a fact. It's not a, if I'm good enough, because that's got nothing to do with it. The Bible says you will never be good enough. I'm certainly not. You will never be good enough. Turn to the person next to you and say, you will never be good enough. It'll give you a bit of a laugh. But, you don't have to be. I mean, I don't mean that you shouldn't be trying to be nice, good, and all that sort of stuff, please. But you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to get to heaven by being good enough. Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the old covenant. I did not come to do away with the law. God's law stands. No, I came to fulfill it. Jesus is the one who actually obeyed it. Jesus is the one who fulfilled what the whole of Israel, all the Jews, had never been able to do. Jesus did it. And if you go home, read Deuteronomy 28. If you can't spell Deuteronomy, just read the 28th chapter of every book till you get to it. It's got two lists. It's got a list of, if you obey me, these blessings will come to you. You will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. You will be blessed in the jobs you do. And then if you do not obey me, these are the curses that will come with you. Your fruit of your womb will be cursed. You will be cursed in the city. You will be cursed in the country. Blah, blah, blah. You will be cursed. Choice. Jesus obeyed. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus kept it all. All those blessings are for Jesus. And well, he died on the cross. He said, I transfer everything that was coming to me to you. All the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 are for the body of Christ, which is us. And we get them because we have said at some point in our lives, yes to Jesus. We get them because we have said at some point in our lives, forgive me, I will follow you. Come into my life. Whatever sort of language you were told to use, it was basically just a signing up. It was a marriage. It was a saying, yes, I'm yours. You've done it. It's no longer a question of where you're going. Because you're not going to be good enough by yourself. You're good enough because he did it and he put it all on you. You have that promise. That is the body of Christ in you. That is what you're celebrating when you come. You recognize, number one, the bread. What Jesus did for you. Number two, each other. To understand, not just to tolerate, to love, to see that everyone else is in this with us. And thirdly, what you have from this. That I am included. And you know, there's a verse in that passage that was read. Because you haven't got this, some of you have fallen sick and died. Now that's not to say if you got it completely you won't fall sick and die, because actually we're all going to die. But it actually means that some people get it, you know, they don't understand that God's blessings are for them. Therefore they don't live in the light of those blessings. And therefore, I don't know, maybe bitterness. It says in the Bible, you know, if you don't love, if you become bitter, then you fall out of... Your body just says, I don't want to live like this, and it gives up. But if we understand what God has done for us, then we can be assured that he is for us, and his blessings are for us. And I don't understand healing like William understands healing, for instance, but I do know that it's real, and that we can expect it. But there is something about understanding who we are. There is something about understanding what he has done for us that is part of it. So, when later we come to communion, and for those of you who like hour-long services, it will happen eventually, we will come to communion. Let's come in a different way. Let's come thinking of those three things. Number one, what is that bread representing? And what is the blood representing, the wine representing as well, which is the covenant, which is the promise. I should have said this under number three. We are there because of the covenant. We are there because the wine says there's a new covenant, which is that he's given us what the old covenant promised, but he had done it for us. We haven't got to do it ourselves. Number two, recognizing each other, loving each other. You can come in. We've stopped. And number three, what your body is. Your own body and what Jesus has done for you. Now we may have 10 minutes. I ask questions after your sermon. You will not ask questions after mine. We'll finish there. But if there's anyone wants to ask questions or say things, just as we pause.